another episode of SLMA Radio. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. It has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing. It probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. Today, as often, our host is Jim Overmeyer, and his guest is Daryl Prale, the CMO of VanillaSoft and the host of Inside Sales right here on the Funnel Radio Channel. The question Jim asked him today is, are marketers the builders of wealth? What do you think? Stick around. Let's get started. See if we can answer that question right now.
Thank you, Paul Roberts. Paul Roberts is our announcer for all programs on the Funnel Radio Channel. Through my career, I've spent 15, 16 years in marketing and the rest of my career in sales and sales management. And even with all of those years in sales management, I had this close affinity to the marketing department because I felt that marketing fed my success. So as a sales consultant, I finally got to the point where I would not accept an assignment unless I also controlled marketing, because I realized that without marketing, I wasn't going to be successful. Through the years, I've really felt that marketers are the real builders of wealth. And I asked Daryl Prale, the CMO of VanillaSoft, who's a long-term sponsor of the Sales Lead Management Association and the host of the popular internet radio program Inside Sales, to come on today and talk about this. Now, Daryl, I know you've been a salesperson as well as a marketing manager and now CMO of VanillaSoft. While I am not asking you to choose a side for this question, I'd like to hear your answer. I've generally thought marketers are the builders of wealth because they create inquiries and marketing qualified leads. But other people have brought different answers to this question. So, pound for pound, I think marketers create more wealth than anyone in B2B marketing. Daryl, the microphone is yours.
Jim, this is not good. I mean, let's think about this. If I say marketers are, then my sales brothers and sisters dislike me. And if I sales are, then my marketing brethren dislike me. What is it? Is that something personal? Something I said you don't want me to be liked? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I just know that most salespeople won't listen to this particular podcast, so it'll be marketing people. So,
for goodness, right?
As a CMO, all the marketing people out there will love you if you take that side. But I know that you're not a one-sided person.
I'm not.
You look at things from both sides. So
I do. And that's for better. And my wife curses me on that sometimes. Why can't you just take a side? I get that on the occasion, as opposed to waffling down the middle. And of course, here's the challenge, right? As my title being currently CMO, whatever if I say marketing, then everybody's just going to discount me. Let me see if I can answer your question. Are marketers the builders of wealth in B2B? You're going to hate this answer, Jim. The answer is it depends. But I'll explain why I mean it depends. Every organization is different, clearly. So when I say they're different, what I mean is that organizationally, you're going to, despite whatever you pretend to believe, you're going to be biased one way or another, biased towards favoring sales or biased towards favoring marketing. So that's a consideration when you answer that question. From my point of view, it's this. Marketing has the skills and the talent and the resources to absolutely be the builders of wealth. They are better suited and better equipped than any other department within the organization just by nature of what they do. They can reach out en masse on digital, you know, whether it be AdWords, pay-per-click, search engine marketing, or through organic traffic, search engine optimization, or through social selling, social marketing to appeal to the masses and connect. They have the tools like marketing automation to physically, continuously hammer you into seeing us over and over again, seeing that brand. So eventually one day you realize you have a problem, you go, oh yeah, those guys might be able to help me because of that relentless just confrontation with the problems and the solutions. They have the skills that those in sales don't to reach a large audience. And by definition, when you cast a net broad enough, like you can in marketing, you're going to catch a large number of leads, which if we draw the logical conclusion, builds the greatest amount of wealth that a sales team on their own can't do. sales team on their own tends to live in CRM, tends to be using their own lists, dialing one person at a time, emailing one person at a time, and it doesn't scale. So simply from a scale point of view, marketing wins. Now, why does it depend? It depends because there's some really amazing sales reps out there who just are hungry and chase down the leads and just close them like a machine. They know their script. They know their area, their ideal customer profile. They know their message. They know their value prop. They know how to handle objections. And they just churn through them and they don't need marketing. Those are the outliers, folks. The other side, though, is you've got a lot of marketers who absolutely suck. And I hate to say it, but they do. All they know how to do is use a HubSpot or Marketo and have really pretty landing pages and how to do an email blast. And then they always stop on the side of fear. Oh, I can't email you because you didn't opt in. So, okay. And by the way, legally, that's correct. But that isn't always, that's not your go-to answer. And there's always a way to reach your audience. And so they're lazy. They don't have the skills, they're lazy, and often they suck at getting leads, or the leads they get are not marketing qualified, and sales will never accept that lead as you hand it over to them because it is not marketing qualified. Somebody stopping by your booth to get a tchotchke does not make them ready to be handed off to sales. So it depends. But if you've got the right talent and you've staffed it appropriately, and that's the last thing, too many organizations underfund marketing. I think Harvard says you should be around 3%. And that's across all industries, manufacturing, services, etc. The reality is if you're going to be something like high tech, you're going to want to be 7, 8, 9 or more percent of revenues, especially just to compete, because that's what your VC funded competitors are doing. They're buying market. And I just see too many people underfunding because they don't understand marketing. And if that's the case, if it's underfunded, again, sales is going to win. So it all depends, my friend. But all things being equal, yeah, it's marketing.
Well, what does that marketer need to do to be on the positive side of the ledger? I learned years ago that it suddenly came to me one day when I worked for Beckman many years ago. I worked for their strategic sales department as a marketing communications manager for 7 different divisions, 2,000 salespeople. I suddenly realized that if the marketing departments at all these divisions didn't understand the quotas for the salespeople that they served, in spite of everything they were doing and the millions they were spending, they were going to fail because they weren't connecting the dots. And I think so many marketers today still don't understand the quotas for the salespeople that they serve. And their job is to deliver the marketing qualified inquiries to the salespeople in such a quantity that they can make quota. And considering that most leads that come in the company have a predictable closing ratio, so it isn't too difficult. If 45% of the people eventually buy the product, the inquiries of the inquiries that come in, then it shouldn't be very difficult for the marketing manager to say, well, if each salesperson has to make 5 sales a month, or whatever the case might be, 10 sales a month, they need so many total inquiries, total qualified inquiries in order to make quota. If I do that, I've been successful in my job, and I still find so many marketers that don't understand that, never ask the question, and just go about their marketing lives kind of ignorant of the power that they have within their grasp. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Kind of 2 answers I have to that. And the one you're alluding to is huge. I call it funnel math. It's not my term, but it's pretty basic, right? So the industry norm, and it does vary by industry. So marketers, you better be using that marketing automation tool to actually figure out what your funnel math is. The industry norm is typically if I generate 100 marketing qualified leads, and that means that you and sales have sat down and said, what is the definition of a marketing qualified lead? Title, industry, employee size, certain pain points, et cetera. Of those 100, I'm going to get 10 sales qualified leads or sales accepted leads, which means they're turned into opportunities. Those are deemed ultimately, they're created as an opportunity, which means they're now on the pipeline. Of those 10 opportunities, 3 will ultimately result in proposals and 1 will probably close. So working backwards, 100 MQLs will result in 1 deal. That's typical math. It's always a starting point that you begin with. So if you say, all right, so what's my deal size? Could be a SaaS model, could be an enterprise license model. You figure it out. Well, let's just say for shoots and giggles, looking at an average annual revenue from 1 deal, it's, I don't know, $10,000. So if I make 100 leads, I should generate one $10,000 deal. Great. Let's work backwards now and say, what are the quotas? What are the corporate numbers that we have to achieve? And you should be able to work backwards and say, well, if an individual rep has a quota, I'm making this up for simple math, of, you know, 1.2 million, then they need roughly 100 deals. Whatever. You get the idea. If it's 100 deals, and then I need to multiply that by 100 again, because that's how many leads I needed to get each individual deal. So 100 deals is 10,000 leads for that one rep. And if I've got 20 reps, then I need a lot of leads. Now, my math may be suspect as I'm doing this off the top of my head and it's early in the morning and I haven't had my coffee yet, but you get the gist of what I'm getting at. If you as a marketer don't know your funnel math, then you're screwed. That's the first part. Now, assume you know your funnel math. That's good. That's really good. You've sat down, by the way, every marketer, lesson number one, you sit down with your sales counterparts and you say, how are you compensated? What accelerators do you have? Help me understand what you need. You need to do that so that they feel you're partnering with them. All right. And it's true. You need to know so that you can make sure they're successful. Because if they're successful, trust me, you'll have a very long and successful and lucrative marketing career because they don't want you going anywhere. That's the first part. The second part is you have to know as a marketer, and this is where most marketers, I think, actually drop the ball. You need to know your ideal customer profile. And for each persona that you're targeting, my case of VanillaSoft, I want to speak to a head of sales and or a head of marketing. If I'm talking to a head of sales and or a head of marketing in insurance, I need to know what are the pains they're dealing with, what are the obstacles in their way if they were to go status quo, and then I need to know how my solution remedies that. If I, as a marketer, can't speak to that, I will fail. So said another way, a marketer effectively needs to be a salesperson because that's what a salesperson is doing. If you can't articulate the value prop, if you can't have a conversation yourself in marketing, you will fail. My advice to you is you should spend some time in sales or shadowing them. Because everything you do comes across, whether it's social media, where it's a trade show, booth messaging, whether you're speaking at a show, maybe it's a webinar you're putting on, you're getting content out there, maybe it's a podcast. You're the one doing it, not sales. Sales is closing deals. So you better sure as hell be able to speak to that. If you can't, you're screwed.
You're certainly right. Those marketing managers who understand the funnel math, who understand their ideal customer, travel along with the salespeople on the telephone, will get their eyes and ears open. They will hear what's important to the customer. They will hear the messages that they have to send out into the marketplace. They'll know the questions that have to be asked, and they'll give their salespeople the marketing qualified leads they need. We'll have to take a quick break here.
Yep, go ahead.
And when we come back, let's revisit what you were just going to ask me. And I'd also like to talk about how you get salespeople to follow up sales inquiries. And I'm talking about the great unwashed whole group that comes in. Now, you're with VanillaSoft, and you're on our program. So you can actually talk about what a program like VanillaSoft does to help the salespeople increase the marketing qualified leads, eventually the closed sales. We'll be back in just a moment.
CRM was designed for managing relationships. Sales engagement is designed for starting them. Current stats indicate that sales reps only contact new leads about 50% of the time, make less than two attempts to contact them, and are only about 35% productive. CRM is the wrong tool to engage sales prospects. VanillaSoft is a sales engagement platform. It allows you to rapidly turn marketing qualified leads into sales qualified leads. According to user reviews, VanillaSoft will increase your pipeline and productivity by 3 times or more. Blow your quota out of the water. How? By ensuring each new sales lead is engaged within seconds, persistently, and with the cadence that is optimal for your prospects. Don't let your sales leads fall into a black hole. Take your lead engagement and sales qualification out of your CRM. Try VanillaSoft for free at VanillaSoft.com.
And let's pick it back up with Jim and his discussion about our marketers, the builders of wealth.
Thank you, Paul. Our guest is Daryl Prail, CMO of VanillaSoft. We've been tackling the question, are marketers the real builders of wealth in B2B? And Daryl's answer was, it depends. He talks about how marketers can create more wealth than anyone else in the company. He says marketers have the skills, talents, and resources to do it, but there are some caveats. Caveats may be underfunded marketing. Caveat may be marketers who don't understand the funnel math. Marketers who sit there and don't understand the number of inquiries they have to produce in order for a salesperson to make quota. So we're back again, and I asked Daryl, he was going to ask a question just before we took our break. Hit me with a question, and then let's talk about how you recommend salespeople follow up inquiries. Do they follow up once? Do they follow up five times? How do they do it? And let's go ahead and bring VanillaSoft into this issue because technology helps a lot in this particular solution. Daryl.
Sure. So the one thing I was going to mention, just kind of bring the two pieces together. Before we went on the break, we were talking about how it's important that marketing understands what sales is selling and can basically do that whole song and dance. Could almost be mini salespeople. One of the things you need to understand is one thing that's been true over the ages for centuries upon centuries upon centuries when it comes to generating revenue, regardless if this is thousands of years ago or today in the digital world we live in, the number one form of new business is word of mouth. People trust other people. But it's massively accelerated in this age of digital and of social media. So if marketing is saying the same thing in all their campaigns that sales is saying on the phone or in the email and their proposals and their negotiations, what happens? The customer has an incredible customer experience that is consistent from start to finish. Marketers, you want this. You don't want to be saying X and sales is saying Y. That's confusing to them. Give them a consistent experience on what will happen. They will go to review sites like a G2 or a Capterra or a TrustRadius or a TrustPilot or even Google, and they will say glorious things about you because guess what? That's the modern way people get word of mouth. They get it on LinkedIn. They get it on review sites. And that's how they minimize risk. So marketers, you want that word of mouth. The only way to do that is make sure you have a consistent experience, a favorable, positive experience. So marketers need to put your feet in the water. You need to intrude not just on sales, but also on customer support to make sure it's, again, a consistent experience. It's not just about sending emails. Your point about how do we use technology to make sure this works. Yes, VanillaSoft is a sales engagement vendor, and you can check us out at VanillaSoft.com. I'm not going to talk about VanillaSoft per se, but I'll talk about the issues that we address. And we're not the only vendor out there, so feel free to shop and figure out what's best for you. The challenge marketers have is as follows, and I'm using industry stats here. It may vary in your industry, so you get the idea, which is 48% of leads that marketing generates are never, ever reached out to by sales folks. So one in two of your leads are ignored. The leads you do send out there take 36 to 63 hours to respond to you. So you get a web form coming in, sales gets around to it in a 2 to 3 day time frame. If it takes more than an hour, the likelihood of a successful outcome plummets. So you got to respond within an hour. The last thing is, if they do follow up with your lead, they make 2 to 3 attempts. And yet statistically, according to the Bridge Group, you have to do on average 9.2 attempts before you finally get them to go, oh, okay, I'll talk to you and I'll evaluate your solution. So if you're giving up after you need to do 9, 3 times 3 is 9, then you've got a problem. Finally, if they schedule a meeting with you, 25% are going to cancel that meeting. And of that 25%, 50% will never reschedule it again. Why does this matter to marketing? It matters to marketing because you spent all this money to get this lead so they can close the deal because you did your funnel map. What's killing you is that sales isn't doing it. So what can you do to change that behavior? But the reason that behavior exists today is because sales mostly lives in a CRM, and a CRM presents all the leads to them in a list format. You log in, here's your list of leads. And it's up to the rep to do a couple things. The rep will pick the next lead intentionally they want to call. So they cherry pick. There's a list, you know, maybe on the screen, there's 30 leads there before they go to the second page. There's 30 leads. They're cherry picking. They're ignoring half of them. That's why 48% don't get called. And then when they call them, maybe I left a voicemail, they have to manually create a task when to follow up next. So you can see why it takes so long to call them. You can see why it's cherry picking, 48%. You can see why there's not enough call attempts. And this is killing your ROI. What if you could put some tech in there, and you can now. So sales engagement, it sits between marketing automation and CRM. So you, the marketer, you make your MQLs and marketing automation. You hand it off to the sales development reps who live in sales engagement. And what the sales engagement platforms do today, and it's beautiful, they eliminate the list and they simply tell the rep, boom, this is who you're calling next. This is who you're emailing next. This is who you're sending a social media touch to next. And you don't know who the person is after this one. You just know you're doing this one now. Maybe I'll just see one person. And when I say, yeah, I called them, it disappears. And the next one comes up. Okay, now you're calling this person. But maybe 4 hours later, that first one automatically comes back. So sales engagement does a couple things. It makes sure 100% of your contacts are called. It makes sure that they're called right away, not within 3 days, but within the hour, within minutes often. And make sure you call them as many times as necessary, 9, 12, 15, whatever it takes. And make sure you do it multiple channels, phone, email, social, because, you know, some like phone, some like email. And it does all the administration work for the rep, so there's no actual manual processes involved. That means your same reps that you have today with no additional fun will actually triple their pipeline creation because they're 100% busy. That's why sales engagement is getting really hot. And all they're doing is they're going to sales qualify it like they would normally. And they're going to pass that off to the account exec who lives in their CRM, and they'll create the opportunity and they'll forecast it. So essentially, there's no change in your process flow. All there is a little bit of technology that eliminates the bad habit from sales and makes their life much better. And by the way, they'll love you for it because you're going to make them hit their quota. And this is a win-win. So that's the way we kind of get around the heartache of days of old using a sales engagement platform. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does, in a beautiful way, simply because the sales manager is not pounding on the salespeople. The sales manager is not relying on the CRM system to give them the percentage of follow-up. The salespeople don't have to hunt and peck all day long because they're using sales engagement platform to deliver who they should be speaking to based on the profiles and based on the most recent activity. At the same time, when you say they triple the pipeline engagement, it also tells me that they triple or quadruple the amount of time that they actually spend in front of customers, potential customers, prospects. An average salesperson in an average company might, inside sales, might only spend an hour or two a day on the telephone actually talking to people. They spend the rest of the time diddling with the CRM system or diddling in a sales meeting or diddling in customer service or doing anything they can do other than actually talking to prospects that may or may not want to talk to them. So this sales engagement platform changes the whole spectrum. Does this sales engagement platform connect directly and dump into the CRM system and into the forecasting model?
It does. And let me use this analogy for you, okay? Once upon a time, there was only CRM. There was no marketing automation, and we would do everything by email. It was very manual. And then we realized we should automate the process. And all of a sudden, our productivity went through the roof, and all our nurtures were built, and it just happened. Well, this is the same revolution, but instead of for marketers, it's for the sales development reps. And to your point, Jim, statistically, reps, account executives, especially by SDR, spend 35% of their time actually within the CRM. The rest of the time, they're doing exactly what you said, diddling. Like, you're diddling of things that they think are worthwhile, but add nothing to their bottom line.
Wow. Now, I've known VanillaSoft for a long time, and I know you're not talking here about VanillaSoft, although in reality, VanillaSoft seems to have been the originator of the sales engagement platform. So those companies that are using the sales engagement platform, and there, as you say, there are others other than just VanillaSoft, they're going to be more successful. What does a sales engagement platform cost? It sounds like it's pocket change compared to the increase in productivity. So it doesn't, in a way, I guess it's a stupid question.
No problem. So again, you can go to anybody's website, any of the vendors in the space, you'll see it. On average, our customers will pay anywhere from 80 to 130, 140 bucks a month, depending on all the bells and whistles you want. So for example, a simple consideration there is if you've already got your own VoIP system, then you don't need one from us. So therefore, you're going to pay less. But if you don't have a VoIP system, well, then we can give you that too. And you're going to pay a little more. It's pretty configurable. So that's the first part. And we're pretty consistent with everybody else. You'll notice that pricing is far cheaper than a CRM seat, by the way, contextually. So like a Salesforce.com, for example. So, and you're right. It is an investment in the actual rep. So if I were to say to a CFO, listen, I'm going to triple your SDRs and their ability to make, you know, outreach and as you can create pipeline, you know, is that worth that small investment? They're going to go, yeah. They're not going to hesitate. So The thing is of interest is that when I talk to people like a Gardner and Forrester, and that's just anecdotal, they've shared with me in the last year or so that historically CRM has been their number one inquiry, and then marketing automation was number two, and then the rest. So people call them looking for help. That's changed. Now it's still CRM, still number one. It's the backbone of the company. Number two is sales engagement. Number three is marketing automation. So if you haven't committed to this, no big deal, but letting you know it's coming down the pipe. So it's something you should evaluate. But those are your costs. It's as simple as that. The other consideration you need to look at is some vendors are annual commitments. So you're obligated for 12 months. They have no other option. Other vendors are month to month. So that's a consideration you want to evaluate. If you want to dip your toe in the water, I suggest you look at a month-to-month vendor, and then you can see if it's right for you or not. And that way you minimize your risk and minimize your spend.
That is wonderful advice, Dave. Your answer to this question, are marketers the real builders of wealth? You said it depends, but you said they definitely have the skills, talent, and resources. They're better equipped and better suited. They're underfunded. They need to do the funnel math. They need to use the technology to ensure that there is 100% follow-up, because that is the only way, 100% follow-up, that you're going to be able to get in touch with all of the people within the marketplace that have inquired about your products. My own experience through doing a lot of the Did You Buy studies through the years said that 45% will eventually buy someone's product within a year, 22 to 25% are ne'er-do-wells, they're just competitors, they're prisoners looking for Trotskys, whatever the case might be. And about 40% are having a tendency to buy, but they won't. So 45% are sitting there ready to be closed. And a sales engagement platform closes, after all of these years, closes the loop, which is sometimes overused, closes the loop and forces the salespeople to do it. Not to mention the salespeople are going to be making quota. Sales manager is going to make his or her forecast. And the company is going to build wealth exponentially simply because they're using a small piece of technology with a very big footprint. Daryl, how does someone reach you to talk a little bit more about this?
Well, they can always find me on LinkedIn, Daryl Prail. They can do a search, Daryl Prail. You spell it any way you want to. I'm sure it'll come up. You can go to darylprail.com. You can go on Twitter, opinionated, O-H-P-I-N-I-O-N, the number 8-T-D, because I often have an opinion. Or you can just go to vanillasoft.com. You'll see my contact information there under the I think the leadership team. Go figure it out. But I'm pervasive. Just Google me, baby.
Now, you're a public speaker. You're out there in the marketplace all the time. You're going to lots of conferences, and you're the host of the very popular Inside Sales, if I said that correctly.
You did well.
Which is on weekly at 9 a.m. in the morning, so it's coming up in about 25 minutes. This interview is being recorded earlier because Daryl's a host of Inside Sales, and he's got to run off and do his hosting duties. Daryl, thank you for your time today. You've opened, for someone that's written four books on marketing and sales, you've opened my eyes with the sales engagement platform. I didn't realize it was so pervasive, and I should have before. So even though I've known you for years in the company, I really didn't realize how the funnel math fits so well with the sales engagement platform. Daryl Prail, CMO of Vanillasoft, thank you for taking the time to join us today. This is John.
You've been listening to another episode of the SLMA Radio right here on the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.